Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. Always good to be here. That gentleman there, I'm sorry, I haven't met you. Yes, you. Yeah. What's your name?
Brad.
Tell me, Brad, are you facing quite a challenging time at the moment? I had a picture of a big wall in front of you, and you were looking at this wall and said, how on earth am I going to get over or around this wall? And I remember a few years ago, I heard a story of a gentleman that wanted to demolish a wall. I can't remember if it was at his home or a business, and he called the contractors in to demolish this wall. They are of the job that arrived, and he thought they were going to bring in one of those big wreckers, but all they brought one guy with a 10-pound hammer, and he thought, are these guys mad? Look at the size of this wall. And this guy started hitting this wall. 1, 2, 3, 10 times, nothing happened to this wall. And he thought, yeah, no, you guys are making a fool of yourselves here. But this guy continued to hitting that wall. At, I think around about 40, the cracks started appearing. At hit number 6, that whole wall came tumbling down. And I feel God is saying, you know what? He's given you every tool that you need in your hands and in Christ Jesus to demolish every obstacle and every wall that is in front of you. You face some hard times, but God wants you to know that He's been there with you every step of the way. Do not be discouraged. That wall will come tumbling down. Just keep your eyes focused, and He's given you every tool that you need to demolish that wall. Parents in the congregation, put up your hands. And grandparents. I feel that He is speaking to you this morning, your children. I feel God is going to use the children of this congregation to lead many people to the Lord. They are not a side attraction. They're not there by accident. They are part of this congregation. The same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit is within you, is within them. And they, in the Spirit, can have the same maturity as what you guys have. Do not look down upon them. Encourage them to always speak God's word. I remember years ago, when I'm going back many years now, my wife and myself were teaching children's ministry. In the class that I was teaching, it was an 11-year-old girl that were praying for her grandparents. They were Hindu priests, and herself and her parents were serving the Lord. And this little child had the courage to go up to her grandparents and say, listen, you guys need to serve Jesus. He is the one and true, only true God. And through that little child, both those grandparents are serving Christ today. They renounce the false gods that they were worshipping. And I feel God is saying the same thing to you guys. Your children in this congregation will lead many to the Lord. Encourage them, guide them in the way they should go. Encourage him to always speak God's word. Okay, will you guys do that? Was it your son that was sitting next to you? Or was it, you know, I will share it with him as well. What is his name? Neil. I saw he had this big gift in front of him, and there was excitement that, you know, when a child sees a gift, they just want to rip that paper, they want to unwrap it. And I feel God is saying he is that gift that he's giving to Neil. And the word says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those that love him. But you will reveal it to us by his Spirit. Encourage him to see God. Encourage him to dig deeper into God and to unwrap the gift that is in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. God's got a big plan and purpose for him. But he's got to stay focused. He's got to abide in God. Who's enjoyed the book of John so far? I think it's been very good. It's such a book that just gives you opportunity, like that gift, to unwrap who Jesus is. And it's such a nice book to do that God uses to unveil who he is and what he wants to do within our lives. I'm going to be reading out of John 15 today, so if you guys want to open your Bibles there. You guys come right. Well done. they said there's either a choice, either the overhead or the recording. So I said, go for the recording in that case. So I'm reading from verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in me. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. And I think just reading it, it's a sermon by itself. Just digesting this, reading it over and over, and let the truth sink into you. It almost does its job for it by itself. Nobody needs to speak. I think that's the truth and the power of God's word. And I feel by preaching today, I actually bring this scripture in justice, but I'm going to do my best. The parable that Jesus used here about the vine is actually was well known in that time period. It was a common job to have a vineyard for people to grow grapes in it. And Jesus and them actually, on the road from Jerusalem to Gethsemane, would have passed many vineyards as well. So, and he always spoke the language in terms that the people could understand. His parables were geared to that, and that's why he used it, because when he spoke the terminology, it was like, hey, that's no brainer. It was sinking to their hearts. They will understand it straight away. Can you put the second slide on for me, please? This is the entrance of the temple of King Herod. I tried to get a better quality picture, but you can see the pillars. The entrance of this temple was ordained with grapevine as well. So it was a terminology that the people knew. Vineyard, they knew what they were speaking about. The vine was the emblem of the nation. Over the temple of Herod, the decoration was there. Isaiah had used the same figure to point out God's disappointment in the unproductiveness of a nation. Isaiah 5 verse 7 says this, for the vineyard of the host, of the Lord of the hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold bloodshed, for righteousness, but behold an outcry. Many a times when God spoke about the vineyard, he was speaking about the nation of Israel. So whenever this terminology was used, they knew the vineyard, that God was speaking to the nation. But Jesus comes here and he uses a different imagery to apply what he was trying to bring across to them. And the first section, he was actually speaking about the relationship that we will have with him. So he uses the vine to listen, you know what, if you want to be fruitful and not unproductive as the nation of Israel had been up to this point, this is what you need to do. Next slide, please. He uses 5 points of resemblance between the vine and his relationships with the disciples. The vine needs to be of the right stock. Jesus, I am the true vine. You need the right expert to prune the vine, which is my Father. He is the vine dresser. You need the right culture. You need the right quality of vine to produce the right fruit. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You need the right point of contact. Abide in me and I in you. And then obviously it needs to bear fruit. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that it bears much fruit. The right stock. I am the true vine. When planting a vineyard, you need to make sure that it is a good quality vine that you have. Years ago, I watched a movie of a family in Italy that had a beautiful vineyard in Tuscany, and one night a fire swept through the vineyard, and they were trying to blaze this fire, kill this fire, and when they saw, listen, it's not going to happen, they said, listen, let's run to the original vine. Make sure that that one is saved. Because if the original vine is saved, we can regrow all of this. But if the original vine is destroyed, there's no hope for us. So all their efforts, they left the vineyard to burn, but they made sure that the original vine from which that whole vineyard was stemmed was saved. So when you have a vine, you must make sure that you have the right vine to start with. Likewise, Jesus says, I am the true vine. All other vines are actually imitations. There are many things in this world that says, this is the way that you should go. Do this and you will have success. Do this and you will have fruit. Many self-help books and videos available today where people say, help yourself. And this is an age that we're living in. But Jesus said, no, all that is rubbish. That is not the original. I am the true vine. Unless you bear fruit in me, unless you abide in me, you will not be successful. The right expert. My father is the vine dresser. Every vineyard has to be pruned. Put the next slide up here for me, please. That is a picture of a vineyard that hasn't been pruned. Ugly, it doesn't bear fruit, it's overgrown, and it's actually dying. In order for the fruit to appear, it has to be pruned. And God says, I am the pruner. I will cut up, out what is not needed. And this is, just, I mean, this is very, very hard to hear a story. It's a story that we don't want to hear. Whenever the Bible speaks about pruning and cutting and heart surgery and things like that, hey, we want to turn our ear the other way because it's we know, hey, that is a process that is very uncomfortable. For that vine to, any vine to grow fruit, the main process that it has to go through is pruning. That is the number one process. It has to be pruned. It has to be done every year. Otherwise, it will not bear the fruit it needs to bear. It consists of two steps, basically. First step is to remove all the dead wood. Whatever parts are dead there is stripped away. And the reason that is done is it's in the dead wood that the insects gather. It's in the dead wood, if it remains there, that the viruses will find place to grow. Likewise, that's what Jesus said. Any dead wood. You know what? When we came to know the Lord, a lot of us carried a lot of dead wood into our faith with us. When I came to know the Lord, I mean, I was unfortunately one of those guys that when I came to the Lord, I mean, the wheels of my life came off completely. I was at a point where I actually wanted to commit suicide. Things have gone bad for me. And somebody said, come to Jesus, your life will get better. It couldn't be far more from the truth than that. Yes, God obviously helped me, but you know what? When you come to God, sometimes the opposite happens. And it's because of this. Some pruning needs to be done. Some character building needs to be done in your life in order for you to produce fruits. So if we are preaching a gospel to people that your life will get better, as part of a prosperity gospel, it's got no place in the kingdom of God. We see what's happening in our own country at the moment. The prosperity gospel, millions of people following man, and man enriching themselves. We need to speak a true gospel, people. A gospel of a God, when you come to know God, you're going to be pruned. Your life is going to be rattled. But you know what? You're going to bear fruit. It will be worth it. I remember when my accident happened, the prophecies that spoken over my life, I remember them. And when people ask me, if you can turn back time, do you want to do it? I said, yes and no. Yes, obviously I don't want to be disabled. Yes, I want to be able to play with my children. But no, you know what? What God's done in my character through me being disabled, through this accident, by far outweighs anything else in my life. I won't be the man I am today if it was not for a pruning in my life. And boy, I needed pruning. As the farmer prunes the vine, so God cuts back the living wood. Second part is, the living wood has got to be cut back as well. Because it's out of that living wood that the new shoots come. It's out of that living wood that the actual fruit is formed. Painful procedure. We don't want to hear that. But I'm encouraging you today, submit to that. God is more interested in your character. I always remember hearing this. It says, God loves you and receives you just the way that you are. But he loves you too much to leave you the way that you are. So as a child of God, the pruning will come. Sometimes it comes often. It all depends how quickly we submit ourselves to God. I've come to a place now, it's not easy, but when a pruning comes, I've learned to identify. I said, Lord, help me to submit to this. It's not easy. I'm human. I still struggle. I've got the same emotions as everybody else. But Lord, help me through this. I submit to you. Whatever you want to do, do it to my life so that I can glorify your name. The word abide in the first 10 verses appears 10 times. So almost in every verse you will hear the word abide, 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 abide. 10 times you hear this in this portion of scripture. It means the maintenance of an unbroken connection. It is saying you do not be disconnected from the vine. Abide in me. And it's speaking to disciples. You have got the choice whether you want to abide in a vine or not. God does not force anybody. You have the choice to say, listen, Lord, I want to abide in you. Or you got a choice to live your life as you please. God does not force anybody. We have to maintain a connection. This passage speaks of the importance of being connected to our Lord. Without being connected to him, we are nothing. The word says here, we can do nothing in our own strength. It will all be worthless unless we are connected to Jesus, who is divine. We can only bear fruit if we are connected to Jesus. Whenever it's spoken about the vine as well, it is spoken about spiritual stuff. It's not speaking about your talents here. Using your talents. It's speaking about your fruit that will be produced in your life if you are connected to the vine. It is fruit that will develop in your life if you allow God to prune you. There's a measure of productivity that happens when you submit to God and allow him to prune the dead bark of your life. If you allow him to cut back in your life sometimes. Sometimes there's losses in our lives. But you know what? God knows. He sees a bigger picture. We don't see it. One day we will know. We don't fully understand today. A lot of us have faced big challenges, big losses in our lives. But I'm encouraging you today, abide in God. For one day you will see. Next slide, please. The ideal measure of productivity and fruitfulness in our lives. You see, in verse 2 it says, let me just get there. Every branch that bears fruit, then it prunes or cleans so that it may bear more fruit. Verse 5, whoever abides in me and I in him, he says that it bears much fruit. Can you see that go? Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. And God wants us to get to a stage where we bear much fruit. The nature of the fruit that is stated in this parable is as follows. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. fruitfulness appears in obedience, which is a sure mark of the believer, where disobedience is a sure mark of the unbeliever. The first fruit that you will get when you abide in God is whatever you ask for in my name, you will get it. You will see things happening in your prayer life. You will see your prayers being answered. I've been at fault many times in my life. When I was an immature believer, I would serve God, I would praise God, you know what, but you know what, I would skip the quiet times, isn't it? And you know what, God knows, I'll catch up with God again on Sunday. And unfortunately, a lot of people only come to God when the wheels come off. God doesn't want that kind of relationship with you. He wants you to be much fruit. He wants your prayers to be answered. But in order for you to do that, you need to abide in me. So he says here, you want to see productivity in your life? You want to see your prayers answered? Abide in me. I am the source. It says your joy will increase. We read it as, let me just go back there. It says this. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. There's nothing nicer to be joyful. Nobody likes a sad face. Nobody likes an unhappy Christian. If you are lacking joy in your life at the moment, look, ask yourself, am I abiding in Christ? Am I penetrating? Am I grafted into the vine? Am I pushing into Christ? Because the word says, if you abide in me, your joy will overflow. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All these things will increase, or should increase, if you abide in God. The love you have for people should increase. The patience you have with people should increase if you abide in God. The qualities of love towards others. That taxi driver cutting you off every day. I'm still battling in that area. When he cuts you off, Lord bless that person. Pour your peace upon that person. Come in the opposite spirit and you'll see things happening in your life. Matthew 7:16, by the fruit you will recognize him. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? You will be known by the fruit that you... People will be attracted by the fruit that you carry. Much fruit. Are you bearing fruit at the moment? Do you want to bear fruit? I think the answer from all of us is yes. So how do we abide in Christ? It's very easy. I think you guys know it. I don't need to tell you guys, but I'm going to give you some pointers as well. You know, we are weak as humans. We forget. We need to come back to the basics. And any organization, no matter how old they are, how long they've been running, they often come back to the basics. Because it's the basics that keep them focused. It's the basics that keeps the vision alive. Recognize your need for Christ. Point number one. The word is, apart from me, you can do nothing. We need Christ. It's like the air that we breathe. So, Lord, I cannot do this without you. I need you more than I need water, more than I need the air. Repent and change your mind towards faith in Christ. Point number one, if you want to be grafted into this vine, if you want to have fruit in your life, you need to be grafted into the vine, which is Jesus Christ. You need to come to repentance. You need to turn away from the things that you've done before. The word says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be changed by the renewing of your mind. If you live in sin, turn your life on sin. Turn your back on it. Get grafted into Jesus. Repent and change your mind towards Christ. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. live rushed lives. Without that word, we cannot grow. This is God's primary way of speaking to us, is through prayer and through reading His word. You want to see fruit in your life? Spend time in His word. The word will come alive to you. It's not just mere words. The word is alive. Give thanks and rejoice. How many times do we thank God for the blessings that we have in our lives? We live in a society where it's easier to complain. You hear it, switch on the TV, listen to the way people speak. It's complain and nag, this problem, that problem. We need to be the bearers of change. Start being known as a person that rejoices and gives thanks to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, just for my health. Thank you for my children, my grandchildren. Thank you that I have a roof over my head. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for salvation. Never get tired of giving thanks to the Lord. Ask God to give you the strength to keep His commandments. Lord, help me. I'm a mere human. I'm weak. Help me to keep Your word. Help me to apply Your word in my life. It's easy to hear the word. It's another thing to actually outlive it. God wants people to outlive His word. When you read the word, apply it to your life. You will know straight away, listen, you know what? I'm not doing well in this area. But God is a God of grace. He will nudge you. He'll say, listen, you know what? That impatience, you actually shouting at a taxi driver, you need to work on that point. You need to have fruit of patience. For me, and I always encourage people to start, especially with the Gospels, is to know the words of Jesus Himself. If you want to be a fruit in Christ, know His words. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Study the words of Jesus Christ and you will bear fruit. Jesus said, without me, you can be nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. So I'm encouraging you guys this morning. Abide in Christ. Without Him, we are nothing. We need Him in our lives. Submit to the pruning. Not easy. It's hard. We all face challenges every day. But you know what? The word of change is we need to rejoice when we face these trials and tribulations. I think I've told you guys a story before of when I was a young Christian and I was facing a tough time. And I phoned the pastor and said, you've got to help me. I cannot do this anymore. And he's encouraged me. He says, just start praising God. I thought, is that all? That can't be all. Surely as a pastor, you've got to give me more tools than that. But you know what? I heeded to that. I started praising God, rejoicing God, submitting to the circumstances I was facing. And I could feel my spirit being uplifted. Then, oh man, I can do this. Through Christ Jesus, I can face all obstacles. Through Christ Jesus, I can speak to those walls. Through Christ Jesus, we can speak to the mountains that we are facing. And this mountain has to be moved. But we can only do it with the assurance that we are grafted into the vine that is Jesus Christ. Church, we are facing challenging times. There are more challenging times coming our way. The church is under attack in the world. People are turning their back on Christianity. There are people that have got the face of Christianity, but they are not preaching the true gospel. And we are falling under the umbrella of Christianity. It is time for us to be abiding in Christ. It is time for us so that people recognize us by the fruit and not by what we say. People are speaking empty words today. The church is under attack. We need to abide in Christ. That is our only true Savior. We are the solution. We are the conduits, but we can only be a conduit if we are grafted in the vine of Jesus Christ. Are you willing to take up the challenge? Are you willing to be submit to the pruning? That is why we are placed in community as well. Pruning is not easy, but there are many other branches that are in the same vine. We can encourage each other. We can walk the road with each other. Make sure you are grafted in the vine. Can I pray for us? Jesus, I thank you that you are the true vine, Lord, and that you died for each one of us, Lord. And your word says, Lord, when we accept you as our Lord and Savior, we are adopted into your family, Lord. We are grafted into you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you love us, Lord, but that you love us too much, leave us the way that we are. And therefore, Lord, some pruning needs to happen in our lives, Lord. And Lord, for myself, I cannot speak for anybody else here, but for myself, Lord, I want to say this morning, Lord, I want to submit to that pruning, Lord, and no matter how hard it is, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you've got a plan and purpose for each one of our lives, Lord, that you know us, Lord, intimately, Lord, and that plan that you have for our lives, Lord, is to bring glory to your name, Lord, and when we submit to that pruning, Lord, your promise is, Lord, that we will bear fruit, Lord, but not just fruit, but much fruit, Lord, and my prayer for each person sitting here this morning, Lord, is that they will bear much fruit, Lord, that they will be known by their fruit, Lord, that their prayers will be answered, Lord, that their lives will be full of joy, Lord. Lord, that they will be known by the love they have for each other and for others, Lord. I pray a blessing upon each person here, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will protect them, because we know, Lord, when we receive a word like this, the enemy will want to come and steal, rob, kill and destroy, Lord. But we just rebuke him this morning, Lord. I pray, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that you would just safeguard the word that is deposited in the hearts of your people this morning, Lord. Bless this people, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We glorify your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you are divine. And we thank you, Lord, that each one of us is grafted in you, Lord. Jesus' name. Amen.